So last week I lost my voice after doing a Faith No More cover set with my weird metal band. My voice was gone long before we even set foot on stage because we decided to not practice at all until 2 days before and then suddenly load up on 3-hour sessions. And I got super excited about singing the song Caffeine in front of people and decided to just go for it every single time after having not really sung for a band in like 5 years. I did all this at practice where nobody cares, so I was good and toasted by the time we got on that stage. And then this week, I was going to have a very special episode anyway, even though Christmas is long gone, but my anticipated co-host is busy this week, so maybe next week. The result is that I took a week off, and while the border boss settled down for a long winter's nap, Princess Leia died. I don't really let my Star Wars nature show to everybody very often because that shit is so commonplace now. I'm about tired of trying to pretend that it's interesting to know about the Forlom Zuckus mix-up or that Chewbacca got killed by a moon. But let's just say I still have a plate that I drew in kindergarten that says C-3PO, R2-D2, and Scotty. Scotty is written over a giant slashing blob of black ink where I tried to draw a Jawa hiding in the rocks and failed, so everyone probably thought that I was suicidal at age 4. Anyway, peace out, Carrie Fisher, and if you think that's too big a digression from the Border Boss core product, boy, have I got some thrills lined up for you later in the show. Up front, I'd just like to announce that I now share a very minor acting credit with screen legend Eddie Deason. I was a small part of the recent Illogical Contraption Christmas special, and I'm a monster fan of Eddie Deason's movie Midnight Madness, plus a bunch of his other movies, but seriously, Midnight Madness. Like, just ask me anything. I'll wait. So thanks, Corey, for getting that box checked. That's a big one for me. Let's talk about some Taco Bell. Number one is that just now, I ate a sweet and spicy taco. I saw that sign from the road over the weekend, but it was Christmas, and I was so full of brisket and turkey and steak and sweet potato and cranberry and peppermint bark that I couldn't. It surprises me more than it surprises you, but I just couldn't. Also, they weren't open because it was Christmas, but that doesn't always stop me. Anyway, yeah, I saw that sign from the road and my mind went down so many trails. What could sweet and spicy be inside of a Taco Bell? A savory melty roll? A drippy new chalupa? Nope. It's a double-decker taco. It's one of three new double-decker tacos where Taco Bell has lost its damn mind. They've just raided Dad's empty pantry after draining his liquor cabinet and started mixing condiments. There's a cool habanero one, and I know that that's ranch, so no thanks. There's one that's loaded up with crunchy red chips. That looks all right, but because nothing on the menu that I'm aware of has ever been sweet and spicy, that's the anomaly. That's the one I had to go for. But these fools just opened up a packet of duck sauce and poured it on for you. Tastes like you're mixing jelly and beef, which of course I do, but I mean it literally. It tastes like you're mixing jelly and beef. Probably if I was being more generous, it's more like when you buy those avocado spring rolls from the grocery store sushi section and they give you that giant rectangle of vile red goo. That delicious vile red goo. I don't eat a whole lot of sweets during the week, but they give you that huge packet in a dish that's otherwise supposed to be kind of harmless or healthy. And I go for it every time. Like it's possible to somehow trick your endocrine system. I don't know. But you drizzle that over a warm beef taco with nothing in between, really. Doesn't really merge. But I'll eat anything, so you try it at your own risk. The risk will be $1. There's three big experiments on the taco horizon. Number one is that they're testing French fries in America. I don't know which Jet Propulsion Lab hotshots think that phrase holds any meaning, but yeah, I guess Taco Bell thinks they need to see if Americans enjoy French fries. So I guess I should send them a link to every third episode of this podcast where someone asks me about that exact thing. Or maybe I should just send them a map to all of America where every living thing is currently enjoying a French fry. The second experiment is chicken nachos and other fried chicken travesties. They're floating around the test store still. And I just saw a recent grainy black and white picture of the naked chicken chalupa. I don't know how you're getting a grainy black and white picture in 2016. Everything in your pocket is like a 40 megapixel camera. I don't get it, but okay. So it's a chalupa where the shell is chicken. So you're just holding chicken, which that's pretty cool. And then they're still making those triangles of dip and chicken chips. Those look good too. I don't care. They're happening slowly, but they're still happening. I maintain hope. The third experiment. It's not the most shameful because testing French fries is the most shameful. But number three is that even though America can put a chocolate fountain into the horrible swamp of a golden corral, we're still somehow getting completely lapped on this chocodilla thing. Not only do a bunch of lesser countries get to enjoy this easy treat, but they're already innovating on it by making Baby Ruth versions and shit. It's intolerable. I'm glad 2016 is killing us all off. Anyway, I realized last week that I left something important out of Viralupa. Taco Bell launched a TV show. Not really. It's not really a TV show. It's just a YouTube series that they put out called Taco Tales. And they're these cute little Taco Bell drive-through true story, supposedly, vignettes. And they have decent production values, way over the top sound effects, like everything is whoosh, whoosh, like a movie trailer. And one of the writers on hand is obviously a fan of that newer, well, probably not new anymore, but that Comedy Central, Broad City, you know, Workaholics, whatever, that vibe where you're not ever really telling jokes. It works in a few spots, but it's pretty uneven. And, you know, after the first episode, that kind of fades almost entirely. And there's a voiceover where the actor ought to know better and stage a hunger strike to prevent any more of it from happening, or maybe just chain his neck to a train. Luckily, they're only 3 minutes or so a piece, so you can binge watch. It'll take you about 12 minutes to binge watch the whole series. And as a side note, I don't know if it's my search history or what, but lately all my YouTube shows for me in the sidebar are related videos of something from a channel named Mr. Gear, where it seems like the only thing he does is heat up a chef's knife with blowtorches and sticks it into things. I mean, like that pneumatic press dude from a few months ago, he was pretty cool, and I love any and all kitchen mayhem, but these videos kind of suck, and they represent at least 80% of my recommendations right now, so I might have to finally clear my cache. Como se hacen, co-host Sarah, sent me a great link, and I prefer that you'd see this link for yourself. I'm going to put it up on the website, borderboss.rip. It's the YouTube channel of the John Bike Advertising Agency. I think it's John Bike, J-O-N-B-Y-K, Beek, Bick, John Bike. They've been uploading some of their commercials from over the years, and it looks like there's some big gaps because most of their stuff is like straight 1979 looking. I'm someone who can watch the 80s Commercial Vault YouTube channel uninterrupted for hours, so this is way up all my alleys, and it takes all my might not just to just sit here and describe all the commercials to you. So I'm just going to give you a couple of highlights, all right? Bear with me. They do really focused commercials for a store or a mall, or maybe just the city of Akron. It just could be ads for the city of Akron, where they tell you about flower pots. It's very specific flower pots, 79-cent flower pots that you can buy. Or the whole commercial about a lamp that you can buy in Akron. And then they have this commercial for a Cadillac dealership that says something like, "The last Cadillac dealership," and then is all funeral bells and just a sea of parked Cadillacs. It's so bleak. I almost went out and bought a caddy. But most relevant to us is that they do a lot of these sick animated commercials using that late 70s PSA animation style, like the Hanker for a Hunk of Cheese guy, or Schoolhouse Rock, or the old Twinkie the Kid commercials. There's one for Pet Tuna, where a cat is shopping for cans of Pet Tuna that has like a totally sweet Buck Rogers rainbow on the can. And then there's a whole bunch of ads for Pup and Taco. Yes, the bewildering Pup and Taco has ads that feature a hot dog and a taco wearing those turn of the century boater hats, those straw hats like you always see in the old-timey election or like bicentennial photos. And the taco and the hot dog will often be assembling a different food item, like a burger. So in this universe, some food is sentient and the rest is all doomed. But all the commercials are great. I'm going to put them up at the website. You need to check them out. They're there for your Slurpee consumption. So in lieu of a very special episode, I thought maybe I'd introduce a brand new segment. I like to call it the unreproducible crucible of shit food mastery, or just phases. So phases is going to be about a phenomenon that I have no living idea whether it's unique. Please reach out to me on Twitter at BorderBossRIP. Drop me a line at BorderBossEternal@gmail.com if any of this sounds familiar to you. Maybe everybody goes through this, but I feel like a lot of people didn't have this level of dedication. My best friend Jay and I were tight as hell in high school. We went through phases of fast food consumption that don't fit into any actual given time span. Like, we go to one place every single day of our lives for what seems, in my memory, like years. Hundreds of meals. And we drag friends along with us like we were Scientologists or Herbalife reps. And they'd hate us because eating pornographic amounts of fast food every day is kind of gross. We'd still do it again the next day because we were driven knuckleheads. And we were usually their rides because we had cars. We had a lot of these phases. And it literally does not fit into the calendar unless you fold space-time. So what I'd like to do is just run through these phases one by one whenever I don't have anything better to talk about. Phase one is naturally Burger King. We went to Burger King so frequently, it's astonishing. Because I hate Burger King. I've always hated Burger King. When I was a kid, we were having a big pool party day, and my grandfather went out for some BK, and my burger contained a used Band-Aid, complete with a scab. And I could still taste that Band-Aid even now. I pulled it out of my burger, and nobody was concerned. No adults. Nobody came to my rescue. Nobody called 911, because back in those days, adults were interested in cigarettes, and children were busy with tetanus, so they just shrugged it off and told me to throw out the Band-Aid. That's Burger King in a nutshell. Plus, I don't know if you managed to choke down one of those Whopperitos over the summer, but that thing was a joke. It was half filled with that crappy, thick white lettuce, all just loosely rattling around inside its own water, in a shell the size of a Coleman sleeping bag. It was just stupidly flavorless. So anyway, for about a 40-year period of high school, Jay and I went to BK every single day and would make a river of ketchup on our tray because they had a pump. Not a lot of restaurants were doing that pump yet, that gigantic self-serve pump where you could just have all the ketchup you ever wanted. And I want a lot. I love ketchup so much, we'd make a gigantic river of ketchup on the tray. It would be half the tray. And we'd even refer to it as the River of Ketchup. It was like a little thing that we had to do. We'd vary our meals a little bit, I think. I don't really remember. But every meal had a river, and we'd always run out halfway through our meals and have to go pour ourselves another river of ketchup. Every meal would have swamp juice. You might call it a suicide. I forget all the different names. It's when you mix all the sodas. And that's really bizarre because I honestly feel like I haven't had anything to drink but diet sodas since I was born. But we went through a huge phase, like a very protracted phase of always drinking swamp juice. It tastes like bubblegum. We'd work really hard in the recipe to try and vary it, but you know, once you put in root beer, it ends up as bubblegum. The only reason we went to this place every day was Regina. I had a giant crush on our friend Regina, and she was an actual friend. She had flowing, awesome hair and 80s eyes, and smoky Kathleen Turner voice, somehow at, you know, 17 years old. But best of all, she'd provide us with some or all of those meals for free. This probably isn't that exciting to people who worked in fast food, but I never did. I always worked at a grocery store. I spent most of my teens at the same grocery store, and you don't really hook people up at a grocery store. You just steal bottle receipts and grift an extra $10 out of the till every day and then buy yourself a used Mustang. But you don't, like, let your friends take Oreos or whatever. It's a selfish gig. So how Regina managed to slide us an entire tray heaped with Whoppers and free drinks every single day without ever getting fired is a mystery that still haunts me. Anyway, nothing ever happened with me and Regina, probably because she saw me eat a full tray of ketchup every single day. Order!
Oh.